Okay, this morning we're going to be starting a series called Back to the Basics, where we consider some of the basics of our faith as Christians, some of the sort of basic teachings that we have. But we're going to do it in a fun way. We're going to look at school supplies. And this is the time each year that students are preparing to go back to school. Teachers are preparing to go back to school. Administrators. And so we're in the season of getting ready to go back to school. And one of my favorite things that time each year is seeing all the brand new school supplies fill up the shelves. And so I thought it might be a fun way for us to think about back to the basics and think about these school supplies. So this morning we're going to think about all the different school supplies that are used to bring color. In particular, I want to invite us to think about crayons, boxes of crayons this morning. So as you hear God's word from the book of Ephesians, I also want you to hold in your mind a box of crayons. Will you hear now God's word? I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, and again, it's Paul that's speaking here, and you'll remember that Paul wrote a number of his letters to us while he was imprisoned because of his faith. So he is in prison at this time, and he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift to us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. So this morning I have from the school supply shelf a brand new box of Crayola 96 count crayons. This is exciting, should be exciting to anybody. A brand new box of crayons with pointy tips. They've not even been yet colored down at all. And 96 different colors contained in this box. And of course, as Crayola has been known to do since in the 50s, there's a sharpener on the back or usually sometimes on the side of every box. So when your point becomes a little dull, you can sharpen it up and be ready to continue on with your coloring. Crayola is a company that has been in existence since 1885. When it started with two entrepreneurs whose last name were Benny and Smith. So here's resembling an old Crayola crayon box where you can find the names Benny and Smith Company on the front of their box. And they were entrepreneurs and also inventors. And so they took the materials that were available to them and they first started to create chalk. And then they started to mess around with the contents of that chalk and came out with what we know as crayons. The very name Crayola, which we have come to associate with crayons, even though there's many different varieties and different brand names for crayons. But Crayola is the combination of two words, cray and ola. Cray meaning chalk and ola meaning oily. So our crayons, our Crayola crayons are oily chalk, right? So that's kind of what they look like and what they feel like. And they're able to color and make beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pictures in this box, all 96 colors. Crayola continues to try to have different colors in their boxes, but they maintain that they'll never have more than 120 different colors available at a time. That's the max that they use. Over the years, they've retired 50 or so colors, still maintain containing 120 colors. When one color retires, they replace it with another. In fact, right now, if you go on to Crayola.com, and some of you who have your smartphones may be doing that right now as I'm speaking to you, but if you go on to Crayola.com, you'll note that they are retiring the color dandelion. Dandelion is being retired, and they're replacing it with a blue color. And you can go on Crayola.com, and you can vote for the name for this blue color. Here's your five choices in the event you want to check it out later on. Dreams come blue, blutiful, moon bliss, reach for the stars, star-spangled blue. So these five names are what is up for grabs for the new blue color that's going in a Crayola box. Oregon State University scientists are the ones that came up with this new pigment, this new color, as they played around with different elements, different chemical elements, and it brought for them this particular shade of blue, and Crayola took hold of that shade of blue, and now it's waiting on us to give it its name. Beautiful colors, a variety full of diversity. When you look at this box of crayons, you see the great diversity that exists within this box. In this same way, friends, the body of Christ is equally and amazingly diverse. The body of Christ is filled with multiple races, multiple genders, multiple ages, multiple generations. In fact, for this time in our lives, this is the first time the body of Christ has been filled with five different generations. So we are merging together five different generations of people. Within the body of Christ, we find multiple denominations, multiple ways that people want to understand their faith and live out their faith. The body of Christ is diverse and beautiful, just like this beautiful box, this beautiful brand new box of Crayola crayons. The body of Christ here at Myers Memorial is diverse. We span those five different age groups, those five different brackets of ages of people. We span the differences in the colors of our skin, in our gender, in our theological perspectives. We are beautiful and we are diverse. And yet Paul offers us some words for how to deal with our diversity. How to deal with our diversity in the body of Christ. The book of Ephesians, as I said earlier, is another one of Paul's writings where he wrote to people while he was in prison. And while he's in prison, he is urging them to continue on in their faith. And so in the midst of this urging, we find today in the letter to the church at Ephesus, to the people called the Ephesians, some urging from Paul on how to deal with the diversity that we find in the midst of the body of Christ. In fact, Paul says that he begs us. The scripture says, I beg you. And Paul says, I want you to make every effort. Begging and making every effort seems to illustrate the importance of what Paul has to offer to us, of what Paul has to say to us. I'm begging you, I'm inviting you to make every effort in the midst of your diversity, Paul says, to maintain your unity. Paul invites us in the midst of our great diversity to focus on attitudes of humility, gentleness, patience, to bear with one another in love, and to above all else remember the bond of peace that unites us all together. Paul is focusing here on unity, not the great diversity that exists within the body of Christ. Paul is saying that is absolutely wonderful, and yet we have to focus on what unifies us. We have to focus on our unity in the midst of our great and wonderful diversity. Unity doesn't just happen, says Paul. It's not something that just easily occurs. What easily occurs when we open the box of crayons is we see the 96 different crayons that exist. Unity isn't the first thing that comes to mind when we think of the body of Christ. Our tendency as human beings is to focus on all of the differences, to focus on what it is that it looks different, what feels different, what we hear that's different, what we think that is different. And Paul is begging us and urging us to make every effort to work on unity and to focus on that which unifies us as the body of Christ. Several years ago, I was invited on a leadership retreat to stand with four individuals. And our job as those four individuals was to come up with as big of a list as we could find of things that we held in common. Well, I can imagine, or maybe you can imagine, what the first thing that we did. We all shared our names and asked what we did and where we came from, and immediately began to talk about what was different among us. Until we had eaten into the 5 minutes of the time that we were given to come up with a ginormous list of what is common between us, we'd eaten into that time about 2.5 minutes talking about what was different about us. And then we took a step back and listened again to the directions that had been given and began to think about what it was that we held in common. Here, friends, are some things that I think the people of us at Myers Memorial, if we took all of us gathered here together today, here are some things that we can hold in common. We're all human beings. We're all breathing, right? Some of us maybe not as well as others, yet we're all breathing. Our hearts are beating. Again, some of our hearts might not be beating as well as others, yet our hearts are beating. We all chose this place of worship this morning. Even if you were forced to come here with somebody else, you still ended up here somewhat by choice. There are many different places that you could have arrived this morning, and yet you're all here sitting in a pew holding the same bulletin. In front of you are three different hymnals and a Bible that are the same. We listened to the same choir sing to us. We heard a text of scripture read earlier from a particular Bible. I just read another particular Bible. You're all here listening to me talk to you right now. These are things that we hold in common. Notice I didn't focus in thinking of what we hold in common in our varied theological perspectives. I didn't ask what you think about the resurrection of Christ or the virgin birth. I didn't ask how you felt about a particular social issue. I didn't ask if you liked the song that we sang this morning or if you wanted to listen to this anthem that the choir sang. I simply said the things that we hold in common. It takes work. It takes work for us to dig deeply to the things that unify us, the things that we hold in common. And yet, you and I make up what's called the body of Christ. We make up the body of Christ. As diverse as we are a part of one body. We get this repetition of the word one seven times, in those short verses, verses 4 through 6 in Ephesians. Paul uses that repetition of the word one 7 different times. We're part of one body with one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. We hold those things in common. It doesn't mean that maybe we all share the same view about baptism. There are some of us sitting in these pews that think if in order for us to celebrate one baptism, then we all have to agree on the one way that baptism is going to happen. Not so, says Paul. There is one baptism. The mode of that baptism might be different. And yet, if you are called to one baptism, to be part of one baptism into the faith, then you are called to focus on what unifies you, on what is the same, on what holds in common for you. And that is that we are held together as the body of Christ. And Paul urges us that being held together as the body of Christ means that we are held together in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. And if we know anything about peace, and peace is more than just the absence of fighting, peace, the ancient Hebrew peace, shalom, is a perfect, a complete feeling, a striving towards being in full unity with God and unity with one another. If we are striving towards this kind of peace, then our goal as Christians is to focus on our unity. And our unity is found within the body of Christ. This box of crayons, this box of 96 crayons are held together in one box. You and I are held together in one body, and that is the body of Christ. In our family, sometimes we have to have family meetings. Maybe we have to have a family meeting about a particular disagreement or squabble that's going on within our family. And it doesn't mean that when we end this family meeting, that we're all going to agree on whatever it is that we're going to discuss in our family meeting. And yet, when it's time for that meeting to end, even though we may not all agree, we are all family. And so when we rise up from that family meeting, what holds us together is that we are family. You and I may not all agree, and yet we are family. We are family. Everyone who belongs to Jesus belongs to everyone who belongs to Jesus. The Jesus in me is the same Jesus in you. You and I belong to each other. Everyone who belongs to Jesus belongs to everyone who belongs to Jesus. We are the body of Christ, held together by the bond of peace. Several years ago at General Conference, where I was a delegate, and you may know that General Conference is the only official decision-making body for the United Methodist Church. It's the only time that official decisions can be made to change the doctrine of the United Methodist Church. Well, those of us who were delegates to this were gathered in Portland, Oregon, and we woke up one Tuesday morning knowing that we're over on the West Coast. We woke up on that Tuesday morning to knowing that you over on the East Coast were in the midst of a big panic. And your panic caused us to have a panic. You see, while we were sleeping, somehow the word trickled out that this was going to be the day that the United Methodist Church was going to divide forever. And it was going to divide over the issues of human sexuality. And so we awoke that morning to hearing this news, just like you were already talking and sharing in this news. And we woke up hearing today was the day the United Methodist Church, as we know it, is going to cease to exist. Friends, my eyes were flooded with tears. This was the church that had raised me from my birth. This was the church that had baptized me into the Christian faith as a four-month-old. This was the church, the United Methodist Church, that I had stood before and said, yes, I confess the Lord, the Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I confirmed my faith in a United Methodist Church. It was this United Methodist Church that I first answered a call into ministry to go and to serve and to lead God's people in the place that I call the United Methodist Church. The United Methodist Church is full of many faces that I love and hold dearly. And so my eyes were flooded with tears of thinking that there was going to be division in this church. And so we gathered that morning, and we heard the bishops offer words to us. and told us that much of what we were hearing in terms of schism was just a lot of talk that had happened overnight while we, the delegates who would be voting on these decisions, had been sleeping. And yet, there were some real diverse issues that we as a church would be called to tackle. We would be called to talk openly and honestly, to find what we now call is a way forward. Friends, that day at General Conference in Portland, Oregon, we celebrated Holy Communion together. And as we celebrated Holy Communion together, the diversity in the United Methodist Church was existent, because my brothers and my sisters from our African countries and from around our world were there speaking their language, receiving the gift of the body of Christ. And there were my American brothers and sisters who our different theological perspectives fell all across the map. And yet we came to the table to receive the gift of the sacrament, the gift of the one body, the one spirit, the one hope, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God. Paul says, I beg you, church, to focus on your unity in the midst of your diversity, to remember that you are one. It is my prayer for the Church Universal, for the Church, the United Methodist Church, and for us, the church here at Myers Memorial, that we celebrate our diversity, and that at the end of the day, we stay united because we are one body with one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Today, as we come to the table, may we bring our diversity. May we celebrate the beautifulness that comes in our diversity. And when we receive the gift of the sacrament, may we leave the table as one. As one. It's our best witness to the world. The world is waiting for our church to crumble and fall and to separate into millions of little pieces. And we have the opportunity to hold ourselves together through the bond of peace and celebrate that we are one body, the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.